This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey. How can anyone dislike this song? Let's see if Wheeler dislikes it. It's too happy.
Yeah.
It's too joyful.
Yeah.
Brings too many good feelings to you.
Yeah.
Didn't worship the devil enough for you.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be about the devil. Just a little bit about hate.
A little bit.
No, that's not true.
Doesn't make you want to do the Running Man?
You know, yes, that one makes you, that's more of a Running Man type song. You know, the heavy stuff is not, like, sometimes the sound is scarier than the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
People are all like, oh, that's scary. I'm like, well, yeah, if you could understand the words better, like I do.
Yeah, true.
You'd probably understand that it's not so scary. It just sounds scary.
What example, please?
All right, so I give you the, I'm not going to go through and read them, but the song Pulse of the Maggots.
Oh, my God.
By Slipknot. You have to understand, like, the Maggots, that's us. That's the fans. We're the fans.
Yeah. That's what they call their fans.
They call us that. And we call ourselves that. But anyway, it's called that, but the song is entirely about sticking up for people that don't have anybody sticking up for them.
Other maggots.
That's it. Yeah. It's basically what it is. If I can use my voice to help other people, that's what the song's about.
And maybe one day you can be a fly.
Yeah. Maybe one day you too can fly.
Wow.
Away from the...
Wow.
Garbage bin.
Interesting. So, Andrew, did you, in fact, go to a hog race this weekend?
What? Yeah, you better believe I went to the hog races.
What's a hog race?
I would miss them every year.
In Millstatt?
Uh-huh. Many races. Many years counting now. I must attend the hog races.
Describe for me, please.
Well, you see, they get the little hogs in...
He's doing a Hancock.
You got your hogs and you got your contest.
Line
them up. No,
they race there.
Yeah,
he's waiting for the double entendre.
Yeah, I say, that's it, right? That's the only part missing is the subtle wiener jokes.
You got a pig and a poke.
You know, they like being poked.
Don't like to talk.
No, so it's
is it like a 100-yard dash, or do they?
It's around the circle.
Okay,
it's a circular track.
What are they running for?
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the website right now, and it says the little pigs are competing not only for honor but also the affection from the crowd.
Yeah.
So that's what they want, adoration.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You got to cheer for them. It's at the Fun Farm.
Okay.
Which I've talked about many a time.
Yeah.
Hosted by the great Rusty Pliers. Who also hosts the Pumpkin Cannon.
Sure.
The Pumpkin Cannon, which I watched for the first time this year. Pumpkin Cannon, a little bit underwhelming, right? Because they're tiny pumpkins.
Oh.
And they launch them, you know. I mean, they go a distance, but it's like, you know, who hasn't seen a pumpkin fly? So it's like, you know. Not as exciting as piggy races.
Can you bet on the piggy races?
I'm sure you can.
On the side.
Yeah, on the side.
Oh, so they don't have like a, it's not like going
it's
to
like
Fairmount.
FanDuel.
It's not like going to Fairmount.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm on the number seven horse in the third race.
And are they little?
Oh yeah,
pigs?
They're little tiny baby pigs.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are just oh so precious. My wife let out like involuntary noises when they first started running around the track. She was so excited. She like couldn't help herself. Started screaming like one of the pigs.
Oh my gosh.
Damn.
No, you know what I mean? Little like the happy noises.
Was it like this?
you can't hear that from way up in the stands where we were. Well, the hay bales, the haystacks. But it's great. It's just so much fun. It's so much fun to go to the Fun Farm.
Good wholesome fun.
It's good wholesome fun
with one screaming lady.
And they do them a few times throughout the day. And you go and you sit and they.
What do they do when they're not racing hogs?
They hang out in the bacon barn. That's where they live.
Oh, I don't like that. That's what it's called.
Look, this is Millstatt, Illinois we're talking about here. If Bacon Barn...
You're lucky they don't eat them right on the spot.
If Bacon Barn's going to upset you, you might just be too
last
soft for
place
the Fun
just
Farm.
Gets filleted.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny, though. Like, as a as a person in a creative field, I would say, some of the names that they come, like the clever names for the pigs, are a little like low energy.
Hmm.
And I kept like turning to Megan like, I don't know if that's really a good. And
maybe
she's like,
and
she's like, shut up. Have,
volunteer your services.
Pigs. Well, I mean, I'm not saying I could do better. I'm just saying.
Crispy bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Something like more akin to crispy bacon.
One of the
bacon.
Best news bloopers
so
ever.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Trotter.
There you go.
See, we just did two of them.
These are perfect.
So both you and Rach enjoyed Donald Trump at McDonald's?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed all the McDonald's content. Who wouldn't? The guy's serving fries and talking to people in the drive-thru. I don't know. And then people were like, oh, he wasn't actually working there at all. They actually shut down the restaurant. It was all a lie. And I'm like, yeah, do you think Donald Trump was actually working at a McDonald's?
Punching in and punching out.
Okay, now.
There's a headline on Drudge saying, will this give him the election? They thought it went so well.
What?
Why?
Look it up yourself.
I will say, at the risk of being mocked by my friend Rachel, because maybe, I don't know, maybe she's overcompensating because she thought the same thing at first. I did think he was actually working at McDonald's.
Well, I mean, like, he was really serving people there.
Like he stopped in during the, like, they didn't shut down the restaurant to make a publicity stunt. They did just, like, kind of fold him in seamlessly into the assembly line, which makes absolutely no sense.
Well, especially after all the assassination attempts, like,
yeah,
it doesn't shock me that they were like, we're closing the restaurant and then we're going to vet people to come through the drive-thru.
Yeah, and if there's one thing that would make any McDonald's employee miserable, it's going like, hey, this 78-year-old man who has no idea how any of this works is going to come get right in the middle of everything, and you just work around him.
Was he charming? I didn't see a minute of it.
I mean, I thought he was pretty charming. I mean, there are people who just hate Donald Trump,
sure.
Right? So, like, they're never gonna... I guess that's why I put it on the sheet, is because it's like, people were hating on it so hard. And I'm going, it's an old man working at McDonald's. Like, it was pretty entertaining content. I enjoyed it. It made me smile. Maybe that makes me, like, a follower of Hitler or something to say that, according to certain people. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, people are just like, oh, it's the worst. Everything he does is the worst thing ever. It's like, man, it was an easy win. Can you give him the easy win?
And I'll cop to it. He's got, if he has one single thing going for him ever across his entire life, is that he's a pretty charming guy. And he has a way of... He has a way of doing the stupid, you know, putting the fries. And he was, like, saying weird stuff. He's like, beautiful fries in the basket, never touched by a human hand, perfect at the window. Like, just goofy stuff like that. I've said this before, but he has no business being in politics. He has no business being any of this stuff. He should be a television presenter, a television entertainer. It's what he enjoys. It's what he's best at. He is a charming, and I think when he wants to be,
if you got him six beer drunk, if he would agree.
Oh, I think he very much would. It's all he talks about. He talked about.
Did he stop
Arnold
The Apprentice
Palmer
to run for president?
I think it was already off the air. Okay. I think they were already doing Arnold hosting it, and Martha Stewart hosted it.
How did
for
it go back?
Time. I don't know. I will say, I don't know if this is going to hand him the election. I don't think the McDonald's stunt went that well, but he has had quite the campaign. I mean, he's got the picture of him with the fist in the air. That's kind of a slam dunk for a lot of people. He had the McDonald's. I mean, he's doing like these podcasts and stuff. I would like to see Kamala out there mixing it up with people a little bit more. I would like to see her do the exact same thing because she's the one who worked at McDonald's. Like, okay, go pick up another shift. Interact with people, have these kind of like pleasant interactions. That's what people want to see. They want to see you. They want to have the beer with the president, right? That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just another way of achieving that.
I think you're saying some true statements there, Rach, because that's one of the things that's so difficult to go against a Trump or the Trump is that he's crazy. And so you don't want to treat him like he's not crazy, but then you can, by comparison, seem, what's the word I'm looking for? Not dowdy, dour, too serious.
Yeah.
You know, like not going,
unlikable.
Not going to the Al Smith dinner, which I understand why she didn't do it, but sometimes she can come off a little bit like, okay, just take a day off and just show us show us how you are. Mm-hmm. Whereas Trump, that's what he does.
And the thing is like whenever you preface it by being like, he's crazy. Okay, half the country doesn't agree with you.
They're wrong.
Well, half the country holds the belief that he's like a very charming,
no, I know.
Like quite all familiar. This stuff. So I think it's wrong to discount that and just be like, well, we all know he's nuts. It's
do
like,
you think he's crazy?
Yeah, I do. But well, I don't go. But I don't lead every conversation with that because I don't think it's fruitful. I don't think you're bringing I don't think you're doing anything to bring those voters over to your way of thinking or even opening them up to receiving like basic information when you just kind of like it'd be one thing if he wasn't the candidate and he wasn't possibly going to be president again. I think it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, let's just, you know, write this off. But I mean, this is a real thing. It's really happening.
I don't think that's the approach to take as a candidate. I think it's fine to take as a person, just as a normal person like us. I don't think if I were Kamala, I would be beating that drum all the time. But I don't think his voters are gettable. I think it's the first time in history you've had a block of voters who are literally not gettable. I don't think you can get his 47% to leave him, no matter what you do. No matter what you say, no matter if you go to McDonald's or you do 5 rallies a day, I don't think you're going to move his people. There is a story on Drudge where she has outraised him 3-1 in the last like 2 months. I don't think that matters either, because just like in 2016 and in 2020, the press follows every single thing he does and covers every word out of his mouth. And I think that it's probably pretty difficult to calculate what that's worth in actual dollars raised and actual dollars spent. Like, I've seen some pro-Trump ads, and they don't move me at all, not because I don't like Trump, just because it's superfluous. When you're such a gigantic personality, I don't think that ads move the needle one way or the other.
Can I be the hate hater?
Sure.
On everything, on all of it. Not on Trump, not on Kamala, but on our entire approach. I don't want to see a candidate for the highest office in the land dance with cheerleaders or serve French fries. It's the stupidest thing on earth. Why do we do this? Why do we pardon a turkey everything? So why can't we just play? Can we just pretend that these are grown-ups running for an important job, and whether or not we see them do something somewhere that's staged, because it's all staged. None of it's natural. None of it. I don't care what party you're talking about, what candidate you're talking about, what level you're talking about. It's all staged. They're all putting themselves in a position where they're going to look a certain way and we're going to do this certain thing. Why do human beings care? Why do we care if they pretend to be like us? Because they're pretending. He's nothing like us. She is nothing like us. None of them are. In some ways, they're human. Don't get me wrong.
You agree with that, Rich?
They're human. But why do we, like, if, why would I be more or less likely to vote for a candidate because they handed out French fries? Why? What is? What are they telling me? They're just telling me they're going to pretend.
I think it's more nuanced than that. I don't think it's, oh, I saw him serve fries, therefore I like him. It's more like in those little interactions, you can see, when you can see the way that he's interacting with someone or has like a little funny quip, or for example, there was someone who came through the drive-thru and he said something like, oh, I can't believe you're doing this for ordinary people like this, like us. And Trump goes, you're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. Like that, those are the moments that people remember. There's a ton of moments like that that Joe Biden has had, human connections that it's like, okay, that means something to people. Mm.
So many of those, though, are forced, right? Like, you know, I'm sorry, but I do this all the time with sports stuff. But in sports, when we talk about when we're evaluating a younger player, you're recruiting a guy, what do you look at? You don't look at them when they know the camera's on. You look at them when they think the camera's off. How do they talk to people, interact with people, and treat people when they don't think that they're on camera?
I think I have an answer for you, but let's talk to Sarah on line one first. Sarah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I've got a comment to make about Trump being charming. I want to say that the people of Germany thought that Hitler was also very charming, mm-hmm. and they also thought he was very smart. And if you listen to the rhetoric that comes out of Trump's mouth, the negative rhetoric that comes out of his mouth, and you listen to it alongside the negative rhetoric that came out of Hitler's mouth, you will see a lot of similarities And also the way Hitler treated the people that he held closest to him that didn't agree with him. He got rid of them the way Trump got rid of the people that didn't agree with him. There's so many parallels here. And I think that people need to go back and study their Holocaust studies and draw the comparison, because it's just so vivid. And people are they're skimming over that and making this like this is something brand new. It's not. It happened. The Holocaust happened. Hitler
happened.
No one
is denying that the Holocaust happened.
No. What I'm saying is that the rhetoric that escalated all of that was all this charming stuff that came out of Hitler's mouth.
I know we're running really late. Can we take Rick real quick on line two? Rick has a theory about this as well. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Trump goes to sell French fries and somebody and cheerleaders, because that's what the media loves. You guys love it. It's not what America people love to see and want to hear, but that's what
I got news for you guys. The media is a mirror. People, what everybody does, whether it's magazines, newspapers, TV, or radio, especially on the national scale, they want to sell advertisement, and they're going to give you what you consume. So if you don't want it, then stop doing it.
DGS, good discussion there. Wheels, to answer your question, why people care about things like that, I kind of agree with Rick. I think the media, it's the tail wagging the dog. The media controls so much of what we think and feel, and someone's controlling what the media says. I don't think that there's an Illuminati. I don't think we're that smart, honestly. If we could figure out how to do the Illuminati, we could figure out how to run our economy. I just think, you know, that's made up stuff. But I think it's because you're rare. You're so absolutely Spock-level logical. Most people aren't like that. And most people don't follow politics nearly the way we do, because we have to. I think most people are looking to see an everyday human connection. And you know this. I'm just giving you the answer.
No, I get you, yeah.
Like the whole, you know, Barack Obama having the beer and George Bush and the whole thing. And I consider myself a fairly smart, savvy person. It gets me, too. I want to see someone who seems relatable. I want to feel like I could have a conversation with them. Rach and I spent some time over the weekend with Andy Cohen, and I was a little nervous that Andy was going to be really standoffish and I was going to end up not liking him, but he ended up being a peach of a guy. So I think we all look for that. We look for people who feel like we could be their friends.
Yeah.
And right or wrong.
I guess what I'm trying to push people towards in general, and I don't care who you vote for or how you vote, but voting should be based on something more than how someone seems when they know the camera's on.
Agreed.
Again, I'm fine with the personality part, but catch them when they're not on camera. What are they? How do they treat the doorman? How do they treat people when they don't think anybody's paying attention? How did they treat people before they were a presidential candidate? Were they rude and nasty? Were they funny? Were they friendly? That's one thing, because it tells you something. But all of the staged stuff is that. It is staged to make the person look good. I have no use for that.
Can I just, because the caller who was like comparing Trump to Hitler, that's fine. People can make that comparison. I do think it's pretty unfair, though, when someone's just saying, hey, he seemed charming in that moment, to then be to have that kind of reaction. I don't think that's fair. And I also don't think it's productive. I think it shuts people down to a major degree where it's like you can't even. I think the mistake a lot of people in the media and a lot of people on the left make with Donald Trump is they're so focused on like, we can't give up anything. We can't admit any sort of positive thing about this person. And then people are like, yeah, you have Trump derangement syndrome, man. Like, that's how it comes across. Anything you can do to avoid that label is going to be better for you in the long run. And I don't know. I just kind of resent the fact that Andrew and I were like, hey, we like the McDonald's content. You know, it's like we liked those videos. It was kind of funny. And then it's just like,
I mean, I can't stand the guy.
Punch back
but I think
so
he's
hard
charming.
With an accusation like that. It feels a little unfair.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camel Wax. I'm sure you know by now, but the great Bernie Miklas is now part of our team, and he joins us now. Bern, how's your weekend?
It was great. Lots of football. Just kicked back. Mr. Glover, I hope you had a great weekend as well.
It was nice. I did a lot of couch riding, a lot of sports, a lot of baseball. So speaking of baseball, this is my one question for you. Wheel said that you addressed it in the podcast. I'll let you guys tell them where to find that content. But it was my number one question of the day. I'm really into the baseball playoffs. Of course, I'm into the Cardinals. And I am fascinated by this narrative that I was not aware of until last couple seasons, that the Cardinals are great at making great players for other teams, or that other teams take our players and turn them into great players. And Tommy Edman just won the MVP of the league championship. Your thoughts, my friend?
Well, you know, in the last four postseasons, including this one, Tommy Edman is the third Cardinal to win the MVP in the league championship series. Actually, I should say the last five seasons, pardon me. Randy Arozarena won it in the ALCS in 2020. Then Adolis Garcia won the MVP of the American League Championship Series in 2023, and now you have Edman in 2024. And if I could throw one more in there for you, over the last five postseasons, which includes this one, there will have been 12 former Cardinals on World Series rosters. Jack Flaherty, Luke Weaver, Zach Galen, Joe Kelly, Jordan Montgomery, Chris Stratton, Randy Arozarena, Adolis Garcia, Ledesma Diaz, Tommy Edman, Tommy Pham, and Edmundo Sosa. Marcell Ozuna was a Brave, but he wasn't on the World Series roster because he got suspended for domestic violence, and earlier in the season, so he didn't play at all. But he was technically a Brave. So, you can always count on seeing a lot of Cardinals in the Fall Classic, we're competing for a world championship. It's just one of those things, man. But it stings, and I'm sure it's kind of embarrassing for the Cardinals, and I know that a lot of the fans are stung by that. But what are you going to do, man? Players come and go. It's just the Cardinals have had this happen to them a lot of times, and a lot of it is, frankly, their own doing. They've made decisions on all of these players, and a lot of times it worked out really well. Other times, not so well.
Yeah, we talked about this a bit. If anybody wants to see the video, you can go on Twitter to @CamoXNews. It's streaming there. It's on the CamoX Facebook page. It's going to air tonight, I believe at 8:00 tonight, too. The roundtable that Bernie and Matt Pauly and Tom Ackerman and I did today. And we talked about this. And my takeaway is I think this is probably more frustrating. And maybe the real frustration is that the Cardinals aren't playing in these deep in the playoff series anymore. They haven't been, right. They used to be the team where, these guys would all have World Series experience because they were Cardinals and you would get it here. It's fine if that's happening with other guys leaving and going, as long as you're getting there occasionally, and they just haven't now for how many years, Bern?
Well, when's the last? 2013. Last World Series, yeah.
And when's the last LCS? And I think it's only been one LCS since then, right?
2019, and they got swept by the Nationals. Yeah, so that's the thing. I think you can give the Cardinals an indirect compliment. You can point out, just about every one of these guys was drafted or signed or developed by them. In other words, they were homegrown. Not all of them, but most of them were homegrown talent. But for whatever reason, their time in St. Louis didn't last. I mean, they either got hurt and it changed their status. The Cardinals gave up on them too soon. Right. They didn't know how to fix them. And in some cases, the Cardinals didn't really know what they had. They didn't know what they had in Arozarena because they never gave him a full chance in the majors.
Right.
They never knew what they had in Adolis Garcia. All that they saw were a lot of strikeouts, but the guy has mad power. I mean, so the Cardinals, one of the problems, the one big beef I would have is like, sometimes they've given up on players before they truly know what they have in those players.
And I think maybe the bigger question, and this is something that we're sorting through, but they've also chosen other players over those guys, right?
Right.
So they chose Dylan Carlson over, say, or I'm not, I mean, this wasn't specific, but like they chose guys like Harrison Bader over Randy Arozarena or Tyler O'Neill over Randy Arozarena. And all of those guys they chose over Adolis Garcia when they just designated him for assignment. And that's the to me as big a question is not only why are you wrong on those guys, but then why are the guys you're choosing
wrong on both sides?
Not right, exactly right.
Yeah, well, what you're saying, Wheels, it's basically the worst possible combination, you know? Because if they got back like really good returns for all these guys that they traded, there'd be some fussing about it, but it wouldn't. People would be happy. It's like, well, wait a minute, look who the Cardinals got in return. But the guys they've gotten in return have not distinguished themselves. I think Matthew Liberatore's going to be really good in the bullpen now that they got him throwing the slider. But as of now, I don't think it really the scorecard goes in their favor with that Randy Arozarena trade. And people point out, well, Tampa got rid of him and he's playing in Seattle now and he's not as good. Well, I really don't care about that. I mean, he had a heck of a run in Tampa Bay. The guy carried that team to the World Series. So what he's doing 5 years later, is inconsequential. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So we may not have picked this World Series, but now that it's here, I, for one, am pretty excited about Judge and Soto versus Ohtani and Freeman. It's shaping up pretty well.
Yeah, and we were talking about this again on YouTube, and I love doing this with Wheels and Tom Ackerman and Matt Pauley. I really do. You know, well, who's going to win? I mean, it's so easy to talk about, well, they're both wealthy. Both teams are rich, and they spend, a fortune. But you still got to compete your way into the World Series. They haven't done it as much as they should for the money they spent. Mm. But so you're looking at the big three. We talked about this. Soto and Giancarlo Stanton and Judge in that American League Championship Series triumph over Cleveland. Those guys had 9 home runs and 19 RBIs. They drove in, 19 of the team's 25 runs. They hit 9 of the team's 10 homers. They also scored 14 runs. So New York has got an epic big three waiting to go. Now, we could say the same about the Dodgers because they have Ohtani, they have Mookie Betts, except the third part of that would be Freddie Freeman, and he missed 2 games because of that really bad ankle in the last round. And even if he plays in the World Series, if he plays a lot, there's no telling whether he'll be any good because the ankle is such a burden. It has clearly affected his performance. I'm going to go with the Yankees, but it'll be a close one. I like the Yankees starting pitching better. And I think I think it's so hard to shut down those 3 guys that we just referred to.
What are the chances the Yankees let Juan Soto go?
Mm.
Well, they're certainly going to try. I would think they'd be the front runner. People are already talking about him getting a $500 million-plus contract. There'll be some teams in there bidding. But Soto loves New York. He loves the big stage. And I think that has great appeal for him to stay there.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're going to just let him go. I mean, when you look at it, the crazy part, though, is that they're already at $300 million on their payroll. Now, they do have some guys coming off, like Anthony Rizzo's coming off. It's not a ton, but it's $17 million. So when you take that with what Soto's currently making, you're not talking about a huge ad, right? You probably just basically give that to him. And they've got a few other guys coming off that are, $3-5 million type guys. But that pushes, if they sign him, that would give them at least 4 players making $30 million a year or more. And Judge is at 40, Cole is at 36, Rodon is at 28, Stanton's at 32. And Soto's going to be the highest of those. He's going to be 45, 50 easy a year.
I think they got to keep him because I'm oversimplifying this. I will plead guilty to that. I'm oversimplifying it. But we've seen these high spending, big spending, superstar filled Yankees teams in recent years not get to the World Series. Who was the missing ingredient? I think you make a strong case it was Juan Soto.
Yeah, the lefty
guy is a fantastic hitter.
Yep.
Fantastic. Because he draws walks. He hits a ton of home runs. His plate discipline is outstanding. I mean, he's nominated for a Gold Glove. I don't know if he was worthy, but whatever. But no, I think he was the missing ingredient.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little football. I ask you guys every week. I'll ask you again. Did we learn anything about Mizzou from the Auburn game?
Well, Brady Cook had his career game. That's what we all learned. I'm just going to always refer to it as long as I'm on the earth talking about Mizzou and memories. The Brady Cook game, that was pretty remarkable what he did the other day. And I think Mizzou played really well on defense as well, especially in their run defense. People want to act like Auburn's a pile of garbage, and they're not. They're kind of a sneaky SEC team that if you don't play well or you don't stop their running back, you could get beat. And so I give a lot of credit to the Mizzou defense. But the whole Brady Cook story was the thing that really is the one thing we're going to always remember, because that was remarkable what he did after spending two hours, whether he was in a flatbed truck being taken to the hospital, coming back from the hospital. They're working on him in the in the football facility, and he comes sprinting out of the tunnel. It's almost like a movie scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little of that vibe, and it's there are still some concerns. You know, like, obviously, you're playing at Alabama this week. Alabama's going to be angry. They've lost two games. They're already tough on the road. You've got Oklahoma after that. I think that, you know, Arkansas could be tough. South Carolina could be tough. They're going to have a pretty difficult stretch. But if they come through it, they could be an interesting team. I mean, but we talked about this earlier, Bernie, on the roundtable with both Mizzou and Illinois, because both of them are kind of in the same spot. I don't know if you get a playoff spot with two losses, if you're either of those schools, based on how the evaluations are done and based on quality of wins and all of that.
Yeah, it all depends on who else is a two-loss team,
right?
Because then
right.
You're competing with them, and so I don't really. It's a worthy conversation, but I don't spend a lot of time on it, because just like what you said, Kev. You know, Mizzou can't afford to lose another game. If they lose one more game, even then there'll be probably something of a bubble team. But they're not as highly regarded as a lot of other teams who I think would be on that bubble with them, maybe even Illinois.
Yeah,
and the other thing about Mizzou is, you know, I gave the flowers to Brady Cook because he deserved them.
Yeah,
but Brady Cook has to be more accurate. The other day was an exception because it was obviously a very strange set of circumstances. But doing all the numbers, which I do, and I'll just leave it at the short version, he is one of the least accurate quarterbacks in power conference football in terms of his on-target rate, which is different than completion percentage. Like getting the ball right in the receiver's hand, but right on the money, you know, hitting them all the time. He's one of the least accurate passers in the game. And if Mizzou's going to be able to reach their offensive potential, that's got to change. And I'm not putting it all on him, but after all, he's the one that has the ball on every play about. And if he's accurate, they're a much more dangerous offense.
.251 DGS on Cam Wax. Another gorgeous day out there. I wish it were a little cooler, but what's great about this, for me personally, is it's not warm enough to turn on the air, and it's not cold enough to turn on the furnace. It can be 56 degrees in my house, and I'm fine. You guys?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather not turn either of those things on at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just exist in the natural air.
Yet my electric bill will still be $400. Just always is.
Hmm.
So
that's fair. Yeah.
You know,
when you have a castle, it's hard to keep that thing warm and cold.
They really are drafty. I didn't realize that when I bought it. I think bought it for the moat. Just going to.
Ain't got any alligators.
Speaking of a-holes, did you hear about Ariana Grande and Elvira?
Yeah.
No.
No. What happened?
So.
Oh, man.
Ariana took 20 of her friends to an Elvira show, I'm sure ironically, and Elvira comped all their tickets.
The lady from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Comped all their tickets, took pictures with everybody, showed them a great time, and then at the end of the night, she asked Ariana if she could have a picture with her, and she said no.
Aw, that's not okay.
So Elvira's calling her out, as Elvira does.
Why would you say no?
As Elvira should.
I can't comprehend that.
You're a big-time jerk.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, she kind of has a reputation for being like that.
Oh, really?
Well, she licked the donut.
Remember the donut?
When that happened.
What?
Remember when she licked a donut?
There was like security footage of her being at a donut shop and she leaned over the counter and picked up a donut and licked it and put it back.
Oh, no, I don't remember
that. Didn't she also say something crappy about America?
She said, I hate America. It was like something like, you can get 75 donuts for $15 or something. And she's like, ew, that's disgusting. I hate America.
Is she just like a brat? Is that what it is?
Yeah, sounds like it. Seems like it. That makes me sad for Elvira.
Well, yeah, me too.
I think you see this a lot with, like, you know, the Nickelodeon or Disney kids who immediately go from being child, like, actor stars to, like, ultra mega pop stars or whatever. They just kind of have to exist in this state of, like, perpetual, like, I'm 11 years old or whatever. Because they never had, like, you know, we had, like, real life happen to us. And that's why and how we matured and became real people. And some people are able to basically escape that part of their life and never have to do real life.
You know, I get that, but I mean, like, your average 11-year-old doesn't do that.
That's not true.
No, they don't. I don't know any 11-year-olds where you're super nice to them and you're like, and they'll be like, no, sorry, bye. I don't know any 11-year-olds that are like that.
You know too many 11-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, got a big family.
All the 11-year-olds I hang out with, nothing like that.
That's not normal.
Nicest guys in
there's
the world.
There's Jimmy, there's Petey, there's Hambone.
Yeah, I just think we're besmirching 11-year-olds just because Ariana Grande's a jerk.
Okay, I take it back. Jeez.
You didn't know he was that passionate about 11-year-olds.
I'm going to take up for the kids, man.
I'm not willing.
Kids are better than most of us adults.
I'm not willing to handle that kind of smoke over it. It's like, okay.
People are always like, kids are so mean. Yeah, like, you know what? They're better than we are.
I only know one 11-year-old, and she is better than all of us. So.
I'm team kids on this one, man.
Maybe 11's the perfect age.
It's a good one.
It's not 13.
Mm-hmm. No, 13's a little rougher. 18, 19, 20 is pretty good.
But think about it.
But like, you're not really a kid anymore then.
Even Phoebe. Phoebe's a grown-up. She can move to, you know, France if she wants to. But, like, 13, 14, 15, 16, your brain is jelly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we say that, but we say it so flippantly. It's true.
Yeah.
Their brain has not fully formed.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, that range. There's a good, I mean, it's never terrible. Like, I mean, I liked every age for my kid, but, like, the smoothest ages are probably that 9, 10, 11. They don't have a lot of the pressures in school that you have when they're older, right? A lot of peer pressure and things along those lines. Most kids are pretty level at that point. Mm. You know, they understand things when they're younger. They get a little bit more.
You just talk like Sling Blade.
I like them kids when they're about 10, 11. They're real nice. They ain't got no... You got mean yet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.